Have your way, Holy Spirit. 3 days later, when David and his 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." Hebrews 4, verse 6 lets us know. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. My sermon topic today, Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace. You could have your seat. Love you. Grace. It is often explained as God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is one of God's attributes. God meets with Moses and describes himself in Exodus 33. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Moses, not wanting to lose the presence of God, petitions for God's favor to go with him. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Lord, we need your grace. We cannot earn God's grace. It is undeserved. John Newton called it amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. It is unfair partiality and gives us an equitable advantage. It is God adding supernatural abilities to our human efforts when we stand in need of help. No matter who we are in this life, rich or poor, we will all arrive at a pressing and crushing place, a place that we need help, where our natural strength fails and falters, where grace enables us to stand firm even on shaky ground. Grace takes our little and makes it much. Grace turns our deficiencies into abundance. Grace takes brokenness and make it whole. Grace takes our gifts and places us before kings. Grace moves us from warming the bench to being the star player. Grace will have you saying in disbelief, "How did I get here?" Remember, my daughter in college called me one day and said, "Mommy, I don't know how I got here." She was sitting with the president of the college and other officials around a table. And she says, "Mommy, how did I get here?" Grace. Right, Bishop Williams? I know there are days you weep before God in gratitude of his grace. How he took you from Jamaica and has graced you with favor to pastor one of the greatest churches on this earth. Graced you with wisdom to have spiritual influence around the globe. and has given you favor with both God and man. I give God thanks for the grace and favor over my life. I'm standing behind this sacred desk, not because of my goodness, but because of God's grace. The lyrics to this song is my testimony. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sins. Hallelujah. Ziklag was crushed and burnt to the ground. Our crushing comes through the circumstances that plague our lives, leaving us pleading for help. Sickness racking our bodies as we beg for help. Burdens weighing us down to the ground as we cry out for help. To God be the glory. We as believers of Jesus Christ have the unfair advantage of grace on our side. Let the word speak from Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. James 4:6 reminds us, but he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. John 1:16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Jeremiah 31:2 says, thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. We will find grace today in the wilderness of this pandemic. Is there a need in your life? Jesus tells us, my Father knows what you need before you ask him. In Matthew 6:8, and Isaiah tells us, in chapter 65, I will answer them before they can even call to me, while they are still talking about their needs. I will go ahead and answer their prayers. So this morning, don't let the mask muzzle you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, there is grace in your crushing and pressing place. Now look up to God and envision him sitting on his throne. Tell him, Lord, I need more grace. After a 3 days journey, these warriors are exhausted and needing the comfort of home, expecting to return to the glee and laughter of their children, the loving arms of their wives, and the comfort of family and friends. They are instead met with despair and gloom. The Bible says that in their distress, they cried until they had no more power to weep. Are you in that place today? You cried your last tear before you got here. Cried your last tear this morning in your kitchen, in your bathroom, in your bedroom. Silent tears on your way to work. But there's hope for you in the gracious God who sees every tear and has them bottled up in heaven. David got wind that the men were about to stone him to death. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. David knew who he was in God and what was working on his behalf. I believe David came to the same conclusion Paul came to. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Hallelujah, Jesus. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. The grace of God is with us. God's grace and favor had been David's portion all his life. And he knew his faithful God would not fail him now. Hallelujah. David consulted God and proceeded to battle, armed with the words, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." As told by God, David and his army of men conquered the enemy and recovered all. All we need is a word from God. You woke up this morning, you're saying to yourself, "God, I need a word from you. God, please don't let this day end without a word from you." Here's the word for someone. You will get everything back. Verses 18 to 19. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Informs us that David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else. Oh, my God, that had been taken. David brought everything back. I decree and declare, we will bring it all back. Today is an anointed and appointed day for victory. Zechariah received a word from the Lord that I declare today in the atmosphere to every opposing force, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground, hallelujah. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace unto it. The capstone was a finishing stone on the temple. There were shouts with joy because it was completed. Despite everything the enemy tried to derail, delay, or destroy the work of God in our lives, that which God started, he will finish. And we will be able to shout, "Grace! Grace unto it!" Lord, we need your grace. Shebobo. Mamandalabosha. There were three areas that grace worked in David's life that day, as life left him empty and crushed in spirit. Life will sometimes leave us empty and barren. I've been there. Years ago, I stood with a family as they watched their apartment burn to the ground. There was nothing they could do but watch everything go up in flames. But God's grace ruled in their lives. They received grace upon grace. Days later, they found important documents, dry and intact in the water-soaked charred rubble left behind. That's God. God turned their mourning to joy, giving them favor to move into the home they were purchasing, to live rent-free until the official closing day. Don't tell me about my God and grace. That's what grace will do. It will cause you to reign in favor. Whatever you have to confront today, it is grace, grace unto it. My prayer today is that you will find grace to help when you need it most. May you obtain grace to worship in pain. May you obtain grace to war in prayer. And may you, my God, obtain grace to win in power. Oh, my God, grace. Grace to worship in pain. The king who gave God undignified praise encourages himself in the Lord in the face of death and finds strength in the Lord is God. Where is your strength coming from? Maybe David encouraged himself with these words of praise in the book of Psalms. He may have chanted, "You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." Maybe he proclaimed, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I wonder if he announced in the atmosphere, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David may have told himself what he needed to hear. Oh, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's faith over fear as we worship in pain. Oh my God, your argument may be, how can you possibly praise and worship God when all around you is despair? My simple conclusion is, it is only by the grace of God. Oh my Sadadaba, God held Job in high esteem as recorded in the book of Job. I love brother Job. I love him. God boasted about Job to Satan. There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. God gives the enemy permission to test Job's faith. All the evil the enemy could launch on Job, he put into full effect to cause Job to curse God. Like a tsunami, messengers, sole survivors of destruction, rushed in to give Job news that compounded sorrow upon sorrow in Job's blessed and prosperous existence. One day can change your life. One day. The tragedies the enemy customized to shake Job's foundation in God surely caused pain and trauma. But Job did what God expected. He worshiped God in it, frustrating Satan. Our worship will always frustrate the enemy's evil schemes and plans. Isaiah informs us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard in Isaiah 59:19. By the grace of God, as we confront our greatest challenges, our standard should be worship and trust in the knowledge of who God is and what he can do. May we, by the grace of God, keep our integrity intact. Job's reaction is a level of worship we should desire to attain. The Bible says Job stood up, fell to the ground, and worshiped. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Someone, you're listening today or you're here in the sanctuary, you need to take the blame off of God. Hallelujah. Take the blame off of God. You're here today facing enemy spirits. Suicide, sickness, debt, depression, joblessness, mental afflictions, job termination, worry, anxiety, failures, rejection, brokenness, divorce pending, relationships ending. You're at the corner of helplessness and hopelessness, wondering what to do. Let this word inspire you to believe in our gracious God who is concerned with the affairs of his people. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 heard that a vast army was coming against him and Israel. The Spirit of the Lord anointed a Levite, Jehaziel, who prophesied the word of the Lord to the king. Hear the word of the Lord today. It is just as relevant today. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours. Oh, mashallah. But God, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that God will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, stand still and see the deliverance that God will give us refuge. Oh, Massa Talabo, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. Hey, and the Lord will be with you. He is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down, fell down in worship before the Lord, and the people of Judah and Jerusalem followed suit. God is saying to us today, receive the grace to worship me. Come up higher. Ephesians 2:6 makes us know that God has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Rise up above your troubles and trials. We cannot afford for worry to rob us of our worship. God is saying, I inhabit your praise, not your painful place. I can't abide outside of your faith. If you want to live in me, you must live by faith in what you are believing and not what you are seeing. You cannot live in the fear of what you are seeing. Worship must be your lifestyle. Let us join the psalmist in declaring, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be blessed. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Oh, mama, masatalaba, rababababo, shalaba. As I pondered, I meditated, I thought about how can one worship God in this desolate place. Yandalabosha, rababosalaba sete. I started to sing and prophesy to myself. Whom am I? My worship is my trust in you, God. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. It remains forever. My worship is my hope in you, God. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My worship is my faith in you, God. For faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I worship you, my God. I worship you, my God. I worship you, Lord. My God. In these uncertain times and days of pain and suffering, our need today is to have the grace to still worship God in spite of. Lord, I need your grace to declare like the prophet Habakkuk, even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no grain, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful, O God, and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. The Lord, the sovereign Lord, gives me strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer. Keeps me safe on the mountains. You're here today in the sanctuary. Oh, you are virtually connected. Truth be told, you have lost your hope, your peace, your joy, your determination, your passion, hanging on a limb, feeling like you're about to lose your salvation and lose your faith while you're hanging on. Start to pray for grace. There is hope at the throne of grace. Today is your day of exodus out of the darkness into the light of God's glory. Worship the gracious God whose mercy and unfailing love endureth forever. Worship the God who meets you at the point of all your needs. Worship the God with eyes to see, ears that hear, hands that save, a heart that loves, and feet that run to your rescue. What you need is grace to worship in your pain. The pain, the sufferings, the afflictions, the troubles, the torment, the agony you face may have left you void of worship and praise. But make a resolve. Return to worship. May the words of this song inspire you. I'm going back to a heart of worship, where it's all about you, where it's all about you, Jesus. Receive the grace to worship in your pain. It's grace to war in prayer. Hushaba. Over this pandemic, over the past few years, after many trials, I've learned to pray. Yes. What David did in this dismay and distress points us to the expectations of God from his people. David borrowed and robed himself in the ephod, a priestly garment, so that he could stand in the position of a priest and offer petitions before God and pray for guidance. Prayer brings us to that place of assurance and confidence in the living God. It was the only place that David, a man after God's own heart, could go. Oh, my God. He knew that he could find favor if he took his crisis before the throne of God. David knew the God who parts Red Seas, and historically was the stronghold of Israel. That same God would surely deliver him. David knew that the God who took a shepherd boy and made him a giant slayer would not fail him now. He knew that the God who gifted him with the strategies of victorious warfare would give him favor again. Revelation 1:6 tells us that we are priests unto God. And I wanted to let you know that you don't have to borrow an ephod. Don't have to borrow anybody's anointing. O Shabandelebo Satama Katalama Shekulabaha Robobo Satalabaha says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Jesus spent countless hours in prayer. Luke 5:16 tells us, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. At one point in their walk with Jesus, his disciples asked of him, teach us to pray. Not how to do miracles, but how to pray. You see, our prayers matter. There are prayer bowls in heaven filled with the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8 tells us, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. We have altars of prayer to God here on earth, but in heaven there is also an altar. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was terrible earthquake. Talk about power in prayer. No matter what, no wonder the enemy doesn't want to. Oh, my God, does everything to keep us from praying. He knows that it will come crashing down on the earth to wreak havoc in his kingdom. Oh, mama shatala. Hey, baba shatala. Are you getting ready to pray? Oh, my God. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means the olive press, where the oil was pressed out of the olives. What you're in right now is pressing the anointing out of you. Oh, my God. Getting ready to pray. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 26, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a stone's throw away, he prays, my Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. In this transparent moment, we realize that all flesh will have a need for God. As much as Jesus was the Son of God, he was also 100% a man in the flesh. The Easter play was canceled this year due to COVID, but Christ was not canceled. We still celebrated his death, his life, death, and resurrection. This piece was written for that play. Take this cup from me. Thought about the agony of him in that garden. Take this cup from me. Bitter the dregs of betrayal. My own familiar friend who I broke bread with. One I led, taught, and loved. Judas, you betrayed me with a kiss. Take this bitter cup from me. Bitter the dregs of alienation. I was born into a nation that denied me my citizenship and my godly heritage. I came as a long-awaited Messiah. You, my people, denied me choosing to wait for another. Take this bitter cup from me. Bitter the dregs of rejection. Give us Barabbas and crucify the Savior. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Israel, my first love, has rejected me. Take this bitter cup from me. Bitter the dregs of persecution. A crown of thorns, a purple robe, wanting to mock my kingly realm, beaten and spat on by soldiers whose army I could have destroyed with one word. Take this bitter cup from me. Bitter the dregs of crucifixion, the cross I had to carry, the shame I had to bear, nailed hands on feet hung on a tree for all the world to see. Condemned to die, forgive them, I cried. I am the living water, crying out, I thirst. I needed water, you gave me vinegar. I was left forsaken, rejected, and pierced in the side. Yet my destiny and my love entwined to save and redeem fallen mankind, my Father's pride. My final resolve, nevertheless, thy will be done. Thank you for the cup, Father. I will forever drink to their salvation. I will forever drink. Oh, Jesus. And so it tells us in Luke that an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. But in verse 44 is where I got one of the revelations that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because it informs us that Jesus went back to praying, but this time more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. More earnestly lets us know that Jesus went harder in prayer with intense conviction and sincerity for the burden he carried. My desire is that we receive the grace to be intercessors who carry the burden of our Savior for a lost world. Give us the grace we need, Lord, to be bold, tenacious, and consistent in prayer. Give us the grace, Lord, to go hard in relentless prayer, knowing that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. James 5:16. We need grace in prayer to fight the enemies that stand against our progress and our spiritual destinies. Lord, we need our prayer life back. We need to recover our passion to pray. We need our altars back. We need our family devotions restored. Lord, your house needs to be a house of prayer once again, where people rush to the altars in repentance and contrition. So there will be revival in the land. I pray the prayer of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 3:2. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone. And in your anger, remember your mercy. Oh God, give us the grace to pray. To operate in the power of prayer like Elijah, who was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Lord, I need your grace to pray. Grace to win in power. David and his men fought and won the battle against flesh and blood. God's grace brought deliverance that day. On their way to locate the Amalekites, David's men found an Egyptian in the fields, abandoned and forsaken by the raiders. He told David he was one of the raiders who had burnt Ziklag. One of the raiders. Thank God David had wisdom. He told him, so God will use even your enemies to assist you. This Egyptian led David to where the Amalekites were camping. Upon arriving at the camp, this is the scene that played out before David and his men. They found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. 1 Samuel 30:16. We see this scene played out before us every day, that our possessions, properties, and people are in the hands of the enemy. Today we must rise up with righteous indignation. We cannot sit back anymore and watch the enemy rejoice over our loss, dangling our unsaved and backslidden children before our faces, parading our possessions before us, boasting of their stake in our properties. Today we must declare, no more devil. We are fighting not for victory. We are fighting from the place of victory. Oh my God, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. We serve notice this day that we declare war. We are not after flesh and blood. We are after spirits operating through them. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers. Oh my God, and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Ephesians 6:14. Church around the world. We need grace to fight this war. It's time to take the Holy Spirit, our helper, off the sidelines and put him back as the general in this war. Without his help, we cannot win. May favor fight for us in this war. We have been called into spiritual warfare. We have been chosen by God to defeat and conquer the enemy. We have been called to plunder hell and populate heaven. At the throne of grace, we can obtain the supernatural abilities to win in power. Christ came and established a new order. The Jews expected Messiah to fight the flesh and blood battle. They rejected Christ because he did not form an army and deliver them from the tyranny of their government. Jesus came with new weapons of warfare. He came to defeat foes on his knees and at the cross. He came to establish a kingdom of God in earth, not a physical kingdom, but one that is within us. Luke 17:21, I've been given spiritual authority to bind things on earth that will be bound in heaven, and loose things on earth that will be loosed in heaven. Oh my God, beloved, let us get battle ready. We are not here to see a battle. We have been drafted in the army of the Lord to engage in a war. It's war time. It's war time. Hushababababasata. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being a spectator to what the enemy is doing. We must realize that there is a cause. When we have those in high places buying little girls and boys for sexual pleasure, there is a cause. When we see racism and discrimination taking precedence in the land of the free, there is a cause. When our land is plagued with sexual perversions and proclivities that are unnatural in the eyes of God, there is a cause. When the church is starting to look and behave like the world, there is a cause. When chemical and biological warfare is available to wipe us out, there is a cause. When our children go off to college and are deceived by the ideologies of the world and come home confused in their minds, there is a cause. When our cities are terrorized by gang warfare, and we are burying our children and young people before they reach adulthood, there is a cause. When laws are passed making it difficult for us as the saints of God to live peaceably in the land, there is a cause. When the enemy defeats us and we are placed on spiritual life support, there is a cause. We cannot sit back in ease in Zion and think that we are secure. In the book of Esther, when a decree was issued to destroy every Jew in the land. Don't you think the enemy wants to destroy every Christian in the land? Oh my God. Mordecai rebuked Esther's refusal to help. He said, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews, Hushaba, will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives, oh my God, will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. This is our such a time. It is time to make a move to recover and take back what the enemy has stolen. Tell your neighbor, you have been called for such a time as this. Lord, we need your grace to win in power. We need your grace to worship in our pain. And we need your grace to war in prayer. In my conclusion, I want to leave you inspired to obtain the grace and favor God offers us. Grace will work for you just like it worked for Esther. Esther feared that she would die if she approached the throne of the king uninvited. Hearing the chastisement from her cousin Mordecai, Esther came to her senses and made this declaration, "And I will go to the king. Even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. There is no law in this earth that supersedes the law of God. If we perish, we perish." Oh, Shalaba. Esther went before the king and obtained favor in his sight. The king was so pleased with Esther, he gave her his ear to ask anything of him, even to the point of giving her half of his kingdom. Oh my God, Esther, go with your bad self, girl. Oh, Shavandele, give me that grace. Hallelujah. At the throne of our gracious heavenly King, he wants to give us the kingdom. Hey. Jesus assures us in Luke 12:32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." It's time to fix our crowns. Come before the throne of grace and ask that the kingdom of God come to destroy and overtake the kingdom of darkness, wanting to annihilate us. God sent deliverance to Queen Esther and her people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us, God, Lord. We need your grace. Grace will work for you just as it worked for Jonah, running from his assignment, denying the call of God on his life. There's a second chance for you at the throne of grace. And I'm talking to the minister. I'm talking to the one called. Oh, you're running from the call. You are sidestepping the assignment. Go back to the throne of grace. There's a second chance. Jonah prayed in Jonah chapter 2. "I cried to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered." Are you in a fishy situation today because you're walking in disobedience? Then pray your way out. Jonah finishes his prayer, "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Jonah experienced God's grace, not just for himself, but for the people of Nineveh. It's not about you. Who Jonah thought did not deserve God's grace. God reprimands Jonah and has the final words in the book. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? We have to stop judging and start reaching and preaching the same message Jesus preached. Repent! Yeah. Repent! Yeah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent! Where will you spend eternity? Repent. Today is the day of salvation. Repent. Grace will work for you just like it worked for Paul. For the one today, you may say, Sister Diane, I have been struggling with an issue. It's not that I haven't been worshiping or praying, but there's a situation in my life that has become a thorn in my flesh. I can't seem to shake it. There's a word for you. Not everything that we go through is of the devil. God gives us trials to test our faith and to keep us humble before him. Paul, hallelujah. Paul tells about this. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh my God, when you're weak, it becomes your strength. Jesus may not eradicate your pain, but he's prescribing grace when your strength fails. Grace is sufficient. Grace is enough. Grace will preserve you. Grace will hold you in place. Grace will strengthen you. Be comforted today to know, hallelujah, that grace is with you. And I end, hallelujah, Jesus. For someone who's watching, someone who's even here, that you'll receive the grace to receive salvation today. For it is by grace we are saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us. Someone, you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and pray for grace to be saved. You can look at me, even through the computer screen, even through the television set, even through your Apple or your Android. Don't worry about what you have done. There is enough grace to cover an ocean of sins. He says he takes our sins and he casts them in the sea of forgetfulness. And if you go looking for it, there's a sign that says no fishing. No fishing. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Focus on what Christ has done to prove his love for you and accept God's free gift of salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so, let us ask God for grace to stay in the race. Grace to lay down our lives for others. Grace to deny self to fulfill destiny. Grace to please the Father. Grace to follow God's plan. Grace to finish strong. Grace, grace. Unto it, Lord, we need your grace.
Where would I be if not?
Is there anyone here today that says, Lord, this is the day for my salvation? You're here, you're unsaved. You can raise your hands. And we will pray for you today. Hallelujah. You can raise your hands also, internet audience or internet church family. You can raise your hands before God and say, Lord, I surrender. Give me your grace. If you're here today and you need to recommit your life, ask for his grace. Lord, I haven't really been serving you the way I should. I've been distracted in this season. Netflix and Hulu and social media has taken my time from you. Can we please pray today for grace? Can we please pray today for forgiveness? Can we remember our children today? Can we ask God to forgive us as parents and Christian parents who have let something slide, who has let the internet raise our children? Who has forgotten about family devotion and prayer time? Can we just ask God for grace to forgive us and to give us another chance with them babies? That even tonight you will go home and open that Bible that has dust all over it and just pray with them. Our children need us. They don't understand everything. I was speaking to the Lord about my children. And the Lord said to me, Book of Samuel. He said, go and see when God called Samuel what happened. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Holy Spirit? And I opened the Word and I started to read. And Samuel heard God calling him, but he didn't know who it was, so he kept running to Eli. And Eli finally realized that Samuel was hearing from God. But this is what the Word said. It said Samuel did not yet know the voice of God. Is it that our children, Samuel was serving in the temple? He was being trained and mentored by Eli, but he didn't know the voice of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said to me, oh my God, help us, we need your grace. He said the children are serving, they're dancing, they're singing, they're doing their poetry and they're doing everything and being busy in the ministry. But they don't know the voice of God because they have no relationship with Him. Let us not be deceived. Jesus. Our children are dying in the church. They don't know the voice of God. They know our voices more. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me. Shut up! Stop talking so much. Let them go so they can come to know my voice. For when they know my voice, they will not follow another. Whose voice are they listening to? Oh my God, may our children come to know the voice of the Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you, God. Our homes are broken and in trouble. Our children are far from you. They have their degrees and they have, oh my God, updated their pedigree, but they don't know you. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose their soul? What does it profit us to teach them that ball games are better because they can get scholarships from it? And so Sundays we drive them, oh my God, and leave church to go sit in the benches. I'm not saying it's not important, but let's set our priorities straight. We're losing our children to the devil. My God, we're losing our men to addictions. Oh my God, we're losing them to the liquor. Oh my God, and the gambling tables. We're losing them. And we sit in ease. I've been there as a wife with an unsaved husband. And we put on our dresses and we walk out the door. Did we even pray with them before we left? And being real this morning. Oshabaha. The enemy came and they took the woman and the children. And what I saw, and I said, God, I have a bone to pick with you. Because I didn't hear them crying for the wives. They were crying because their sons and daughters were gone, but I didn't hear them crying for their wives. Oh my God, hallelujah, Jesus. Husbands are so unconcerned. Oh Shababa, can we pray? Let's stop talking so much and start praying and start living until our lives rub on them and they get saved. Oh, Shabba. Mandelelebo satalaba. Let's set our priorities straight today. May grace reign in this place. May it fall, God. We're here because you promised us grace. So God, forgive us. And like Paul, let us declare, forgetting those things that are behind, this one thing I do, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I stand here today. For I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who died for me. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to give him praise this morning. Again, we have heard a very poignant, riveting word from the throne of God. And our hearts have been stirred, our spirits even provoked. And yet we are encouraged with peace and hope that the God of all creation is not just a God of judgment and condemnation, but a God who gives grace unto his people. Thank God for mercy. Nobody move yet. Thank God for mercy, because mercy is not receiving what we deserve. But mercy alone could not take me from here to glory. In order for me to get there, I need a little bit of grace. Hallelujah, somebody. I need a little bit of grace. What is grace? Is grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. Oh, come on, somebody. And how many know that we have been given some things that we really don't deserve, like God's precious forgiveness, like God's, even God's mercy. Hallelujah to God, that we have been given grace to succeed and grace to overcome and grace to survive and grace to fight the battle. That's what we've been told a few minutes ago. And if you walked in here feeling like you're alone, or if you're standing out there feeling rejected and abandoned, I want you to know that God has grace available to help us to overcome every challenge and every situation.